when we go to a memorial service and we hear the words that are spoken. There's another aspect of it, and it's the personal memories of the deceased that we have. It's the personal interaction that we've had. And it's a remembrance of the impact that that person had some way or another in our life. We spoke earlier today that God is good. And I'm glad this afternoon that as you and me research the halls of our memory and go back into the library of our mind, we can see this much, that there's no bad memories concerning the Lord. With people, and those of us that we have known and those that know us, there can be some things that are unpleasant to remember. But the Lord's memory and the memory He wants us to have of Him in the knowledge is pleasant. It's a fruitful place and a beautiful place. And it didn't come without price and without sacrifice and without humility, the just for the unjust. If I may today, I don't want to distinguish a lot between the ordinance service of washing of one another's feet and His passion and His love. If you allow me, let's mingle them together in a thanksgiving and a worship to Him who came and paved the way for us. To please the Father, we must take on us the quality of the Son. To please the Father, as He is, Jesus, so must we be in this world. And He came not to do His will, but the will of Him that sent Him. So you, for you and me today, as we follow the Lord in washing of one another's feet, as we follow the Lord in remembrance of Him as we partake of the bread and the juice, we also want to remember a greater challenge and a greater mission is set before us. As He is, so are we in this world. It's one thing to practice the ordinances, and we should, perhaps even more often, I don't know. But it's another thing to have imprinted on our hearts, I've been with Jesus. I have been to Calvary, and I have been washed in His blood. The Lord, here in the 13th chapter of John, gave us a method. And I'm not here today to tell us in any way should we deviate from the method. But more than that, that the significance of it and the beauty of it be written on the tables of our heart. That's where God came to work with us, is to take the written word that we may be able to see it, and take that word and place it in our hearts. More than just the form of girding ourselves about with an apron, more than just taking a basin of water and for a moment in time washing one another's feet, but that we would have the spirit and the mind and the heart of a servant. And that we would not be in any form, shape, or fashion puffed up. And that we would count it not an underprivilege, but a great privilege to be a servant of man. The Lord Himself came and emptied Himself out. The lessons of the ordinance service, the lessons of the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, teach me that I've got to be broken in my spirit, contrite over my error, and have a willing heart to serve the Lord. He told them, you don't understand what I'm doing. This is in the 13th chapter of John. You don't understand what I'm doing to you and for you, but you will afterward. What happened afterward? Afterward in a, I don't know the chronological timeline, but afterward the men that were there had assembled themselves together in an upper room. And the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they understood things that they had never understood before. Lord, give us your mind and give us your spirit. Today, if I want to be Christ, if we must then have his spirit, we cannot be gods or we cannot belong to Christ if we do not have his spirit. So I'm thinking as we have this ordinance service today, Lord, I want to enter into it with your spirit. I want to love my brothers. I want to love those in the congregation of the saints. I want to love them till the end. And I don't want anything to separate us. And I don't want anything to separate me. Lord, I want to take the humble way. I want to take the way that will cause me, Lord, to crucify every bit of the flesh. And not to rise up in pride or vanity. Not to resist you as Peter ignorantly did. But that we'll know from our hearts. He said, the eye of man, the ear of man, the heart of man. We haven't ever been able to comprehend the things God has for us. But he's revealed them to us today by his Spirit. And may the Lord help us that the dimensions of his love would pour out on us. Peter objected ignorantly. But Peter also recognized when he was instructed in righteousness, he said, Lord, not my feet only. Not just a part of me that you're wanting to do here, but Lord, if that's what it takes, Lord, not just my feet, but my head, my hands, my whole being. The Lord wants us, and I thought of it this way. I love and I want in my heart to have the mind that Peter had right there. Lord, I want to be immersed in you, and I want all your beauty. I have had my conversations in the world, maybe more than some of you, maybe less than some of you. I have been in fraternal organizations. I've been to a little college. I've participated in sports. I've done quite a few various things in my life. And I have never found the fellowship, the unity, and the oneness that we find in the body of Christ. There's something about the workings of God in our heart that changes our dimensions, changes our mind, and it's his blood, and it's his spirit. So the Lord took a garment, and he girded himself. First he took off his outer coat. He girded himself with a garment, and the very Lord of creation took a basin of water and went around to the feet of men and washed their feet. When I think about him going to Calvary, when I think about him going to the cross, when I think about the Lord reaching out to mankind and forgiving us, the just for the unjust, the holy for the unholy, though the one who knew no sin and neither was guile found in his mouth, he died for a world full of liars and blasphemers, for the adulterer, the thief. He died for men of all races and men of all and women of all types of transgressions, the just for the unjust. That's what he did for us. Do you remember when the Lord came by and told you, you can be saved? You know, I struggle with that. I struggle with salvation. I won't go into all of that except to say, I thought the clock of mercy had ran out on me. And I thought, well, there's no hope. But you know, instead of freeing me to say, go and live the way you want to now, doesn't matter. It made me fearful, and it made me miserable, and it made me even more unhappy. I can tell you the day, and I can almost tell you the hour, that the Lord will tell you the place where the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you can be saved. I've got salvation for you. I was crying out to him, and he let me know he loved me. And he died for me. What a privilege it is to have that experience, to know without a doubt the God of creation came and spoke to our hearts. Let us be tender today. Young people, a great and a wonderful sacrifice has been afforded you. And it's so easy in the strength of our youth, I've been there and I've done that, to rise up and say, I need no one. I can do it myself. and no one need tell me anything. Oh, listen to us, those of us that have some gray hair now, when we've made our mistakes, we need a Savior. We need a friend, and we're going to need help. And He died, and He rose again, that He might be our helper, that He might be our friend. He walks with us, and He talks with us, and He communes with us. He washes our feet today. I don't know about all the Lord's thoughts here. We have some of them. But I'm thinking He wanted to do this. And He said in another place, was it here, that He said, with a desire, not here, I believe, I have desired to eat this meal with you. God has a rich and a powerful desire to commune with us. Let's allow Him to do that. Have you ever had a conversation with someone that was distracted? Not very encouraging, is it? You can watch them, and they may be looking at you, but their eyes are miles away. Or maybe you're trying to say, let me tell you an event, and maybe you're kind of excited about it. Someone else walks in the room and catches their eye, and they remember something they need to, and their eye just follows that person. And you're trying to tell them how excited or how wonderful something was about that whatever. It's just like talking to that cup. You know, the Lord wants us to appreciate what He did for us. He wants us to realize and listen to Him. He has a desire for us. He has a desire for our fellowship. He has a desire for us to be molded into His image. And I don't know all the significance of the ordinance services. I don't understand everything about the Lord. But I know this. He emptied Himself out and He became obedient unto death. And then I read, again, as I said, as He is, so are ye in this world. And I wonder about myself. Have I emptied myself? Is there a part of me that I'm withholding? Is there a treasure that I hold dear that I'm not willing to turn loose of for the love of my Lord? That song that they sing sometimes here, and Sister Jennifer sang it the other night, I want to tell you folks, that song goes all through me, humbles me, and makes me feel so unworthy, broken and spilled out. He was broken and spilled out for me. And then I wonder, Lord, am I truly broken? Am I truly spilled out? And then there's times I think that I am. And then something I want comes around. And I realize, Lord, there's some empty in here. There's some me that's got to be poured out again. There's something about me, Lord, that's wanting to kind of bind up a treasure in my heart. Did you know Jesus Christ came? We know the humiliation of the cross in human terms. But go beyond that and recognize that He was the Creator, the Divine and the Holy One. And He went to the cross. And that puts a different dimension on it, does it not? Total purity, the great God who could speak the worlds in and out of existence, suffering by His creation, when He had the power of life and death over every man and woman there, He could have taken breath from every one of them had He had chosen. But He emptied Himself out. He didn't reserve any selfishness. He turned His selfishness, and that's not a good word in thinking of the Lord, but He turned all the thoughts of self-preservation, He turned them over to God. Not my will, but Thine be done. May we today follow in His footsteps and turn over all expressions of self-preservation, self-sufficiency, pride and arrogance, any desire we have that we're conflicting with what it seems the Lord is dealing with us on, may we humble ourselves and pour ourselves out and say, Lord, not as I will, but Thine be done. And did you know that was the only way for it to be fulfilled? And it's the only way for it to be fulfilled in our life. God will not work. We've always been taught and believed through an unclean vessel. But I think there's another thought. The Lord will not completely be able to work His will in an unyielded vessel. We say we love the Lord. Jesus spoke to some people, or He gave us an example of the judgment, and He'll speak to some people. He said you love me, but you didn't do the things that I said. It's sometimes easy in emotions, such as today, thinking about the death of Jesus, especially if we had a corpse here. And it's so easy in the flesh to say and make commitments. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. And when we call to remembrance, but let's be careful. It's better not to have made a vow than to make a vow and break it. Because in so doing, we damage our own faith. We damage our own self. But He said there would be those who called on Him and said, well, didn't we do this? And did we do that? And I never knew you. In another place, as I said earlier, he talked to them. He said, you knew, but you didn't do what I asked you to do. Lord, help us. As we are touched by the moment of His passion, as we are touched by the outpouring and the empty of Himself, let's don't be just those who would say, well, I've emptied myself out. But let's look at ourselves. And let's look at our hearts. Do I truly mean that? Is there anything I've reserved that God can't call for? Is there anything that I hold so dear that I can't turn loose and give it to the Lord? It could be our health. It could be our wealth. It could be our attitudes. It could be our feelings. It could be our jobs, our educations. It could be our talents. It could be our will. Something that I hold dear, and when I'm really pressed, I can't turn loose of it. But did you know God is calling for it? And if we're His, we'll find ourselves somewhere praying, Lord, this too I give up. Have you been to your garden? Have I been to mine? Need to go there. And I have found, I don't know about you, but I've been there more than once. I've had to go there early. I've had to go there lately. Because there's something that He wanted. It was another thing He wanted me to empty out. Another duty, another calling, another mission for Him somewhere. And my flesh said, well, these are the reasons that won't work. These are the reasons that you don't have to. But yet that voice from the cross and that voice from His passion and that voice of His Word and His Spirit and from the throne said, this is the way I have for you to go. Have you been to your Gethsemane? I hope so. I hope every one of us get well acquainted with a rock in Gethsemane. I hope it becomes our prayer rock where more than once in my life we go and say, Lord, I'm emptying some more out. You've shown me some more of myself. Lord, I've never been touched that way before, and lo, I've been touched, and I did not like the product of being touched. You know, there's different flowers and litmus paper and different things you can touch with various chemicals and substances, and they respond different ways. They'll change colors, or they'll change texture to some degree. There's leaves that if you touch them, they start to draw up. We don't ever sometimes know till we're touched by that particular thing. And then, lo, I didn't know this was here. I hadn't. And now you want it, Lord? You want my ambition? Yes, I want your ambition. But I've really worked for it and I've counted on it. Lovest thou me more than these? Today, He girded Himself and He kneeled before them and He gave us an example. That example goes beyond washing one another's feet, but it goes right into our hearts. Because out of there is the issues of life. So the Lord wants to give us, and He planned it to be such, that He could give us a new heart. Has that happened to you? Then, if it's happened, there is a call to obedience. And there's a willingness to obedience. And there's a willingness to stay in Gethsemane till we get the victory. Till we've actually defeated, not our enemy, not the casinos and the abortion clinics, but we've defeated that man who wants to stand up and protect himself, vindicate himself, reserve himself for himself. That man on the inside needs to be touched by Gethsemane and by the cross and by the washing of the feet. If we can follow after him, we know that baptism, Peter said, does not cleanse us, does not make us holy. It is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience. Lord, help us to take baptism and feet washing and the Lord's Supper and find what he had for us in it of humility, of sacrifice, of turning the other cheek, of serving one another. And then we'll find the joy that we look for. I have found this, that when I have truly humbled myself and served God, that is my happiest moments. I enjoy gifts. I enjoy new toys. But they all have a ring of temporary. They all have a ring of wearing out, of growing old. But every time I've allowed the Lord to humble me, and I have followed him in service, and it doesn't matter how, I have had a blessing that the world can't and time can't take away. And in the halls of my memory back there, and in yours, you can need encouragement, and there it is. Hasn't diminished. The blessing is still there, and the joy is still there. So he took a towel, and he went about doing what he was here to do. Gethsemane couldn't stop him. The devil couldn't stop him. And he spoke, "Forgive them." This one that we worship today, we heard, has forgiven us. He's forgiven us. If you were a sinner, and you were, he's forgiven you. Now you have right standing with God because he's forgiven you. So maybe we'll end here with a challenge. As he is, so are we in this world. Considering, Brother Sammons told us one time, he was ministering during the ordinance service, and he picked up the grape juice, and I don't know how it happened, but some way or another he spilled it. As he looked down on that juice, I'm sure on the table and flooring and all, and it splattering and going the ways it would go, he said the most real realization came over him of what that terrible cross must have been like. And I thought of it this way, to see those great drops of blood. I don't know how high Jesus was off the ground, but I'm sure there were some rocks around. And to see those great drops of blood falling from his body and landing on that rock, or landing on the ground, and what would it be like to see the blood of life, the blood of God, the blood of Christ, just to be splattered? And that's what he did for us. That's what he did for us. He was broken and spilled out. How dare we not also be broken and spilled out? How dare we hold back anything from absolute love, absolute holiness? How dare we who want to follow him and want to be his disciples, how can we afford not to be broken and spilled out. So may the Lord bless us today. Let's not be ashamed. Let's not be ashamed of this. Let's not be ashamed to wash one another's feet or to tell others we wash one another's feet. Let's not be ashamed to say we use a common cup or to tell others we use a common cup. Let's not be ashamed of the testimonies of our Lord. And let's not be afraid to say, I want to be just like Him. I want to follow Him in everything He's done. May the Lord bless our little service today. We don't have a lot of more thoughts now. Except, God help us, that the reality of feet washing, the reality of Calvary and Gethsemane, will sink into us. That we'll not be able to stand against it. That it will forever testify to us of our responsibility. That if I hold back from service, that this scene of Him humbling Himself before His disciples, may that come up as a witness against me. And I'll have no excuse then. When I would draw back from offering myself to be spilled out, may the cross loom in front of me, and I be humble and take away every excuse I have. May the Lord come today if any of us are hid behind an excuse. May what we're about to do take away every excuse. May it witness against us and to us of the holiness of Christ and the love of Christ and challenge us as He is, that each one of us be in this world. I love my friend. My friend died for me. We sing, I'll live for him who died for me. You know another verse of that song or part of it? How happy then my life will be. Did you know when we don't fulfill an obligation, we know it. And we're never happy about it. Have you ever not fulfilled a duty for whatever reason? Have you ever gloated over it and said, wow, I'm so glad? No. We generally wish and we lament not doing it. And hopefully we didn't do it because of circumstances. But did you know if we hold back the prize and the price, and, you know, we're not going to really know the true happiness. But I'll live for him who died for me. Then, oh, how happy then my life shall be. Our joy can be full as we embrace the cross. Our joy can be full as we embrace the humility of washing the feet of Christ, really. You've done it under one of the least of these, you've done it under me. When we find that place, I don't care what's happening to us. And I believe this, I'm not just saying this. I believe at that point, regardless of the circumstance, how happy then my life can be. So may the Lord help us today as we enter into this. Pray one for another. Pray for this service. That it will be so rich to us that nothing can steal it away from us. Our Lord and our God, we're just a humble or unprofitable vessel. Would you take our little feeble thoughts, and would you bring them into our mind that we might realize what a wonderful Savior, friend you are. That we not be ashamed to follow you. That we not be ashamed or resentful from being broken and spilled out. Lord, as we wash one another's feet, would you consider us and teach us, teach the children, teach the young people, and teach the elders. That we might want to be ministers and servants one to another, as you gladly took upon you the robe of a minister and were willing to be broken and spilled out for us. May we today be broken and spilled out for you. Have mercy on us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we could separate at this point. If the men, brothers, would go to the west side dining hall and the sisters go to the east side. I believe the chairs have been set up and everything's provided. Meet back here when you get through. This morning, as I came before the Lord, and not for a message for this service, but for myself in this service. And I thought about the message last night, and I thought about my life, and I poured out the best way I understand how to the Lord, knowing that in myself, there's absolutely nothing worthy to partake of a remembrance of Him in a clear and a holy conscience. That it's only in Him. So the Lord and I were talking, and He brought to my mind some of my weaknesses. And I told God about them. I told the Lord I was regretted them. And I don't want to do anything that would bring shame upon the name of the Lord. And He commanded a blessing to us if we can do that, and a certain judgment upon us if we consciously, unworthily partake of the ordinances of the Lord without clearing those areas up. I don't know how to say that exactly, because each one of us have to be clear in our own selves. I read before that this morning the first chapter, a little more, of the book of Galatians. And I thought about, it talked about Paul, spoke of himself, spoke of his conversion, and then it spoke of him, the Lord calling him into the desert. And how it was maybe some 14 years later before he went to Jerusalem to convert with the apostles there. And you read the story of Paul's conversion, and I am convinced that when Paul said, "Am I not an apostle?" I believe Paul was an apostle. I believe the qualifications for that office and the personal relationship with God and having seen the Lord. He said, "Have I not seen the Lord?" I believe he met the qualifications of an apostle. And he gave us in his writings to the Corinthians in the first chapter what the Lord had given him concerning this service. And I would think it'd be meet for us today to rehearse this. And I want to say this and begin somewhere in mid-thought of Paul. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 28th verse, somewhat in reference to what we said earlier this afternoon, "As He is, so are we to be in this world." And God has called us with a holy calling to a holy calling. He's called us to be an example. He's called us to be a witness. He's called us to obey Him and turn the other cheek, as in the Sermon on the Mount. And Paul wrote, and I believe he had authority to write this, 28th verse of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Lord, I want to look at myself, and have I honestly been spilled out, broken? Have I honestly poured my life out to you in an honest consecration of not my will, but thine be done? From my heart and my soul, Lord, help us today to each one look at ourselves. And if there is that spot, there's that blame, and it's not for anyone here to condemn. But may the Lord give us each one today a good conscience, one void of offense. And Brother Michael told us last night, clearing it up is not so complicated. First, we do have to be sorry. Secondly, we have to be willing and wanting to change. Thirdly, we've got to be willing to say, it's me, Lord. I'm the vessel that needs help today. And you know, we can do that where you are. You can do that right now if that's necessary. Young children, all of us. If we've been a little obstinate, if we've been a little slack in spirit, if we let our minds wander, if we've let our words sting, if we've gone to areas of, I don't mean physical places necessarily, but gone into areas that we'd have been much better off not going. And maybe something attached itself in its mind to us. Did you know we can humble ourselves today, say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry that that happened, and repent of that. We don't have to enter this service unworthy, because all of our unworthy, all of our righteousness anyway is as filthy rags. But we can come in the righteousness of Christ, opening up our heart to Him, knowing that between me and Him, there stands no obstructions, and there is a free flow of His Spirit into my heart. I thank God today that we can have a clear heart and guard that. Songwriter said, guard your heart with jealous care. We want to guard our heart. We want to guard our relationship with the Lord. So Paul gave us this admonition, this caution, that we examine ourselves. And did you know that can be a good place for honesty? I don't mean that any of us are liars either. I'm saying that sometimes we want to kind of give ourselves the benefit of a doubt. Sometimes we want to say, well, but Lord, I have, no. If it displeased God, and it's not something you know God's pleased with, just tell the Lord, I'm sorry. And by your grace, I will not go that way again. I want my life clear before you, Lord. You know, blood is important to us. It's important for the life of the body. It's important for the life of the church. And without the shedding of blood, you and me would not be innocent before God today. We'd be Gentiles. And we'd be in our own vanity, in our own religion, our own sin. Without the blood, there's no life to the physical body. Without the blood, there's no hope for life to the spiritual body. We are saved by grace. We were bought with a price, and that was the price of blood. And it took a very special lamb, Jesus Christ, to be willing to be broken, to be humiliated, to be treated the most shameful of ways, that you and me might be saved. So we don't owe our allegiance to anything of this world, and certainly to ourselves. We owe our allegiance to Christ. We owe our allegiance to God. We owe Him the debt that on this side of eternity can never be paid. But as we make installments, we find joy, we find His smile, and we find His favor. And as the Lord looked on His Son, God looked on His Son and said, this is my beloved Son, I believe as we follow Christ, He'll look on us. This is my children. I'm well pleased. I like what they do because they're following my Son. And my Son did always those things that pleased me. May we today as obedient children serve God. We've been bought with a price. Here in the 11th chapter again, Paul the Apostle writing to us, Paul the Apostle, he said, have I not seen the Lord? He said, this is his thoughts and his revelations to us. 23rd verse, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I've mentioned this before, but it's always inspiring or challenging to me. I know we've, at least most of us adults, have been at someone that was dying, someone that knew that their death was imminent, maybe days, moments, hours away. And I find it very real, and I surely don't in any way fault anyone, because I'm going to go that way too. But those people, as a general rule, are concentrating on themselves. They're concentrating on their feelings, on their emotional status, that is, if they're cognitive. They're thinking about eternity and how they're going to give an account of God. And that's not wrong. I'm not in any way casting that down. That's the way we are. We've got to, at that point, be concentrating on, am I ready? Is there things in my way? Or am I way clear? But I'm interested in how the Lord knew all things was well, and he pleased the Father. And he focused his attention on pleasing his disciples and serving them and washing their feet. He also took bread, and he gave a lesson. He took wine, and he gave a lesson. He was still fulfilling the mission of the great teacher, of one who wanted to instruct us. So this is what the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, just moments, probably hour or two before his betrayal. Think about it. You know you're fixing to get betrayed. What would you be thinking about? I'm glad the Lord was thinking about us. I'm glad he was so clear between him and the Father that he did not have to deviate from his mission, and go say, Jesus, or God, rather, forgive me. I didn't fulfill this and I didn't fulfill that. But aren't you glad he did everything just as the Lord had commanded him and gave him to do? So that right up until the very end, he was still focused on his mission of being you. Knowing that he was going to leave sheep that needed him. Knowing he was going to leave sheep that needed instruction. And when he had given thanks, after he had taken the bread, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And do this, or this do, in remembrance of me. There are many things that can be taken from the symbol of the bread. And I will not take away from any of those. But the bottom line is, it represents the body of Jesus Christ that was crushed, broken, humiliated, ravaged, treated in the most disrespectful of ways. That's what this bread represents. And as it comes before us, and as we see it, it is not in any way the actual body. It's bread. And when it goes into your mouth, it's still bread. And when you swallow it, it does not become the body, as Catholicism teaches, of the body of Christ. It is still bread. And that's all it will ever be. But it represents the real thing, Jesus Christ. And he gave his body. And you know what he wants us to do? Take and eat it. Unless we drink his blood, unless we eat his flesh. Now, folks, he wasn't talking about this particular ordinance. He was talking about everything he stood for. His mission, his word, his teachings, his humiliation, his honesty. All that God is And Christ is. He said, unless we partake of that, eat his flesh and drink his blood. And from that point on, many didn't walk with him. I'm glad you're still walking. I'm glad we're still walking. Let's continue right on. So this bread that we, Lord willing, break shortly is bread, unleavened bread. But it's more than that in symbolism. It represents to you and me part of the awful price of our salvation. In the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, and I'm leaving another place, he took it and he blessed it. This cup is the New Testament, a better covenant, a better testament. And it's been ratified and sanctified and paid for by my blood. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. In that blood of Christ was the unveiling of all things holy, all things pure, and offering to us an entrance into this covenant. This do as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. May the Lord bless us today.